will be there. We will take a little short journey over in Mark 11 here in a moment to read about the events of Palm Sunday, but this miracle certainly goes right along with this time of year. Again, we see the sovereignty and the very providence of God, the plan of God to have us on this miracle on this Palm Sunday. When we look at the very first miracle where our Lord heals leprosy and cures leprosy and heals the leper. And leprosy is such a picture of sin, and the Bible uses it as that picture of sin. But there's much we'll say and can be said about this particular miracle. We're going to highlight a few things here this morning that I believe our Lord would have us to, that we can see truly that our Lord did something special for this leper. He did something special on that Palm Sunday. And actually, both things that He did, we will see are absolutely perfect in what He did on Palm Sunday and what He did in this life of the leper. So we'll find that in Matthew chapter 8. We'll find it in Mark chapter 1, where I had you to go. Luke chapter number 5. All of these are parallel scriptures concerning this leper. And when we see these things, we're reminded of the greatness of our God. Now keep in mind, as we say here on our pulpit, expect a miracle. Our Lord Jesus has recorded for us in His Word some 35 miracles that we have recorded. Now we know He did many, countless more. I think thousands of miracles our Lord did in His ministry here of only 3 years or 3.5. Thousands of miracles. Every day in His ministry, miracles were being performed by hundreds. And if you counted only the number of people He fed, on the one occasion, 5,000 men besides women and children. So each one is a miracle. So thousands and thousands of miracles our Lord did on this earth. But yet, there's 5 recorded for, or 35 recorded for us. We're on number 7 here. As we look at this one, we'll understand some great truths about our lovely Lord Jesus, about how great our God is. Look with me now, Mark chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 40. And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him, kneeling down to Him, and saying unto Him, If Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly, Jesus straightly charged him, the leper, or can I say former leper, and forthwith sent him away. What did he charge him with? What did he command him? Verse 44 tells us. He said unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he, this leper, former leper, went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in a desert place. They came to Him from every quarter. Father, would You add Your blessings to Your Word today and open the Scriptures to us, illuminate our minds, and most of all, work in our hearts to receive this wonderful Word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We could entitle this message, The Law of God versus the Love of God, and Love versus Law, and we can see how that would work. But also we'll entitle it, as Palm Sunday, that Jesus gave us something on that Palm Sunday. He gave us something. He gave Israel something on that Palm Sunday. We're going to see what He gave here in just a moment. Notice with me, the leprosy as referred to here in the Bible is the most horrible disease that any person could get in that day. Matter of fact, it still is a horrible disease. You can take your internet and Google or search for lepers and leprosy, and you'll see pictures of lepers and leper colonies and how horrible the suffering is for these dear ones today. It's been estimated there's some 3 million lepers around the world, and leprosy, like sin, has no favorites. It attacks every class of people. Every nation has lepers in it. Every creed and color and nationality has leprosy, and they have lepers. And so, like sin, it touches everybody in the human race. Leprosy can. And this leprosy in the Bible was known to be only God curable. Only God could heal a leper. Only God could restore what had happened to a leper. You can see pictures on the internet of lepers who their fingers have fallen off. Some, their hands are gone, their feet are gone, their noses are gone, their ears are gone. Their skin looks much like an alligator hide. Leprosy has caused deep furrows all over their body. It's a horrible disease, a horrible disease. And in those days, only God could touch you. And they knew that. Lepers were confined. They had strict laws in Israel against leprosy and about leprosy. Read Leviticus 13 and 14, and you'll be even more aware of these laws. But the leper had to be separated from his family. He had to be isolated, quarantined from all the other people. If he got out of his particular space that was his, if he ventured out, he had to place a cloth across his mouth. Can I say a face mask, as we have had to do in this pandemic. And he's had to put that across his mouth. And whenever he would get near people at a great distance away, he would have to yell out the words, unclean, 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 so no one would be around him. Now, in our day, since this pandemic has isolated so many people and taken so many people out of the church and still not back where they once were, and they've isolated themselves, perhaps the COVID is not there with them, in most cases not, but yet they're still isolated. And these lepers were isolated because leprosy was still part of their bodies. They were still contaminated. They had a special place. If they were able to and allowed to be in the synagogue, they had only a special little room where they could attend the service. That was the only place they could go. So leprosy was this kind of disease. Now, we've not read Luke's account. For sake of time, I won't. But in Luke chapter number 5, he gives this same story in verses 12 through 15. Luke, being a physician, adds this detail about this. It says, this man was full of leprosy, which means it was in an advanced stage. He was quarantined, isolated, full of leprosy. Lepers also have, after a while, their skin, because it has been attacked so much, becomes so scaly, rough, that it turns almost white as those walls there. And so, sometimes the Bible refers to a person being white with leprosy. That is true. You can see pictures of that, as I said, on the internet. And it so gives you a picture of this man, full of leprosy. I'm amazed that he even got to the place where Jesus was. Can you imagine how many people that he had to yell out those words, unclean, unclean, stay away? Because wherever Jesus was, there were already crowds gathering and people were being healed. And this leper, in his unclean condition, in his sickness, made his way to Jesus. So he was full of leprosy. Sometimes the leprosy would even destroy the vocal cords, so the leper was unable to speak above a whisper. I wonder if that was the case here. Well, the fellow was able to get so close to Jesus that he could say to him, "You could heal me if you would. If you will, you could heal me." Notice how fervent he was in his approach to the Lord Jesus. We're told here that as he came to him, he said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And we're told in verse 40 that kneeling down, we're told in Matthew 8 and in Luke chapter number 5, that he fell at the feet of Jesus. You see, here is someone very humbly seeking, begging, pleading for any kind of help with a disease that there was no cure for unless God touched you. How fervent he was in his plea, certainly seeking for Jesus. It reminds me of the prayer of Daniel, back in Daniel chapter number 9, and in much of Daniel's praying, the phrasing there gives us this picture of Daniel pursuing the Lord. What do you mean, pursuing? I mean, he wouldn't give up. He pursued God in prayer. He just kept asking and kept asking and kept asking. And our Lord encourages that. And this man here, he begged and he begged and he begged and he went and he went and he went. And Lord, if you could heal me, if you will, you could do this. Humbly bowed at the feet of Jesus, worshiping this Lord. We see the leprosy in this man, and it's certainly a picture of sin. Where sin attacks every human being. We're born into this world with the sin problem. We don't have to train our children to sin. They come by it naturally. Sin is imputed to us. It's placed on our account. We have it, and it's with us. Sad to say, we have to be delivered from it. And there's no help. The law couldn't help this leper. As much as the rules and the regulations were given in Leviticus 13 and 14, and there were a whole list of these, it couldn't help him. It couldn't heal him. It couldn't restore his relationships with his family. It couldn't give him a voice again. It could not restore the fingers or the hands or the toes or the nose or the ears that had fallen off. It couldn't restore that. No, the law could not do that. All the law could do is what the law does. Is what God's law does. It points to our problem. The Word of God is a schoolmaster, Galatians says, to bring us to grace. It points to our problem. Oh, you're sick. Oh, you need healing. But we can't do it. The law says, hey, you're a leper. You have to isolate yourself from your family, from society. You have to cover yourself. They were to rent their clothes, put sackcloth on. They were to go about as if they were mourning for the dead. That's how you dress now, because you're a leper. Sin does that to us. It separates us from loved ones and friends and family. I'm thinking of folks right now. I'd love to put my arms around them and love them up close. But sin they've been in, has separated them from rest of friends and family. We have our prisons full because sin has separated folks from friends and family. Go to that dear lady and those little children whose husband is behind bars and ask them if sin is worth it. And they'll say no. Never, never, never. My children are being raised without a dad, and I'm here without a husband. The same thing is true when the mother's behind the bars. You see, sin takes us further than we want to go and costs you more than you want to pay and keeps you longer than you want to stay. Sin does that. And leprosy was doing exactly the same thing. What a pitiful situation this man was in. None could help. The temple, the synagogue, the priest, all they could say was, "You're a leper. You certainly have the disease. And it's a horrible disease. You're not welcome in the rest of the temple. You're not welcome at home. You're not welcome with the family when the gatherings would come for the holidays. You're not welcome. Sin does that to us, doesn't it? It does that to the human race, as leprosy does. What on earth could this man do? Someone, somehow, got word to him that Jesus was in the region. And we don't know how far this man traveled, but somehow, through the crowds, when they heard that voice of unclean, unclean, they'd all disperse and move away because leprosy is contagious. It's not as contagious as measles. I was reading some medical information about it. It's not as contagious as measles, but yet it is contagious. We don't know how COVID is transmitted. Even to this day, we're not sure how it's transmitted and how people get it. We think that leprosy could have been in those days just as contagious or more so. So every precaution was taken to keep the leper isolated. But somehow he made his way to find Jesus. And when he found him, would Jesus do something? That's a question, isn't it? I have those who've asked me before, "Preacher, if I came to church, if I believed what you're preaching, I don't believe Jesus would have me. I don't believe that He would take me in. I don't think that even He could help my situation." There's many times I've talked to believers who, through a cold and indifferent period of time in their life where they've drifted away, they think they've gone too far, that the love of God wouldn't reach them, Lord. They think they're at too far a distance. I'm unclean now. And I'm at such a distance, He couldn't help me in my situation. Oh, I've heard that many times in my 40 plus years of ministry. I remember speaking to a man that we'd been praying for in our church to be saved. And he was a hard-working old farmer. That's what he was. And he had a drinking problem. And his family came to my church at the time where I pastored. And they said, would you go by and visit with him? And I said, I will. Will he let me talk to him? He said, if you find him out in the field, he'll let you talk to him. If you go to the house, he'll leave. So I found him one day out in the tobacco patch. And I pulled in. He was working in his tobacco, so he couldn't get away. He had work to do. So I just followed him while he was working in tobacco, and I was talking to him. And I said, man, we've been praying for you. We'd like to have you at church, you know. He said, well, preacher, I'm busy. You see, I'm farming. I got all this to do, you know. And I don't think church is a place for me. I said, church is the place for you. That is the place for you. And we walked out of some of the rows of tobacco, and over here was a pile of beer cans and some liquor bottles. And he said, you see that there? He said, that's my problem. And he walked over there and he kicked one, sailed it out through the air. He said, if it wasn't for these devils, I could be a Christian. And I said, it's because of them devils that you could be a Christian. What do you mean, preacher? I said, Jesus loves you with them devils laying right there. Just like you are. We that are clean need not a physician. We that are whole need not a physician. We don't need cleansing. But we that are sick, we that strayed need the physician. We need the help. Would Jesus do something? Well, the Bible says that when He came to him, Jesus was moved with compassion and put forth His hand and touched him, said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Here is Jesus. Everybody else has, and I guarantee you the disciples are way off. They're standing over to the sides. And here's Jesus, and here comes this leper, and I can see that hand stretched out, and the fingers gone, and the skin so rough and horrible. And I see him reach out a hand. He's fell at the feet of Jesus. Jesus doesn't jump back and say, "Oh, don't touch me. Don't touch me." No, no, no. There's one thing about our Lord that has always amazed me. He is so touchable. He is so touchable. Oh, preacher, what do you mean? I mean you can get a hold of Him. You can grab Him. You can hold Him. You can worship Him. That's what we're tempted to do as we sing, is to hold Him and to worship Him. That's what you want to do as we sing, and you want to sing with us and worship with us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the short end of a really big time. When the end of time is coming, Jesus is coming. I don't know about you, but I know about me, and I think I know what the church should be doing. We ought to be wide open in worship and adoration and praise of our Lord. I mean, when Jesus comes, and He could come on a Sunday morning, we ought to be on our feet saying, "Glory, glory, glory, hallelujah, bless His holy name," when He splits the eastern sky and when He comes for us, and then we'd be raptured out. Our clothes would be left here. We'd have a new robe. I'd like for them to find my clothes with the arms outstretched. Amen? Like that. Them folks, them sinners, come in the next Sunday after the rapture, and they come in and say, "Look at these strange. Look how those clothes are positioned. All the arms are outstretched. All the arms are out." Why is that? Because Jesus split the skies and said, "Come up hither!" And we went up, hallelujah, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Because He's touchable. He's touchable. You can get a hold of Him. Can you see this poor leper falling at the feet of Jesus? Perhaps the last short distance to get to Jesus, he crawled in to the feet of Christ. Others were scattering everywhere, but Jesus stood right there. Perhaps even took a step toward Him. Moved with compassion, carries with it not only the thought of his heart being touched and the love flowing out of him, but the fact that he moved in his direction. I can see that. I can see Jesus not running as the other disciples and everyone else did, but running toward the man. It's often been said, you take one step toward Christ, He'll run to meet you. I believe that. I found that to be true in my case. But here this leper touches Jesus. The amazing thing is that Jesus did not catch the leprosy. But He did take the sorrow, the sin, and yes, He took the disease away from the man. Now that points me back to Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53 it says, He bore our sins. He bore our sorrow. It also points me to Paul's writings when Paul said He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. No, Jesus did not physically have in His body the leprosy, but yet He took it. He absorbed it in the holiness of Himself. And He gave that man instant healing. If his fingers were missing, can you see that? Well, I wish I could illustrate this. Here comes this old leper hand reaching out, no fingers, and touches Jesus. And Jesus, full of compassion, says these words, "I will, be thou clean." And that hand that was like this went, hallelujah. Look, I'm completely healed. My fingers are back. My toes, I'm healed. Jesus did this. You say, Jesus didn't catch what He had, but He gave him what He had. Jesus gave us what He had. Eternal life. Peace with God. Forgiveness of our sins. Jesus gave us that. A few pages over in Mark, chapter number 11. In Mark 11, Jesus is offering Himself on that Palm Sunday. He's doing what He did for this leper. Now He's publicly telling everybody, I am the Messiah. Mark chapter number 11, verses 1 through 11. They came nigh to Jerusalem and Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. He sent forth two of His disciples, said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied whereupon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man says unto you, why do ye this? Say ye these words, that the Lord, this is Jehovah, by the way, not the Son of Man, not just Messiah, but Jehovah has need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. They went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. They loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said, what do you loosing the colt? And they said unto him, even as Jesus had commanded. That is the words, the Lord, Jehovah, has use of him, need of him. They brought the colt to Jesus, cast their garments on him, and he sat upon them. And it says in verse 8, and many spread their garments in the way. Couldn't help but think, was this leper, former leper, was he there when Jesus presented himself in Jerusalem? Was he one that threw his coat down saying, I know what he can do. I know what he can do. Many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. They that went before and they that followed cried saying, Hosanna! And the word Hosanna is save, O save! Save us, O Savior! Save us, O Savior! Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, Jehovah. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Was one of them this leper? Well, it doesn't really matter. Because what does matter is that Jesus was announcing, I'm going to give to you what I gave to him. I have forgiveness for your sins. I have healing for you spiritually and physically. I have peace with God and the peace of God. I'm giving to you what I gave to this leper. Will you have it? You see, for the first time, Jesus was publicly offering himself, and the Jewish leaders knew it. Those rabbis understood it completely. So did the Roman authorities understand completely that when Jesus fulfilled the scriptures in Zechariah, that he was saying, I am the king. He is now presenting himself as the king, and the king is going to give. You know, the king, a person that's a king, doesn't need anything. He's the king. The king is giving. And here's the king. The king's riding into Jerusalem. The king has just given this leper cleansing and healing. And the king is riding into Jerusalem now, some 2 years later, and he's offering the same thing. Peace with God. Forgiveness. If you'll have me. Here he was. They'd never seen Jesus ride into Jerusalem. He'd never rode into Jerusalem. In his miracles, you realize that the Lord's miracles were performed for the poorest people. He performed miracles for the peasants. Oh, he did one for the centurion servant and other ruler and the ruler of the synagogue. He healed his daughter. But the most of them were peasants, poor people. That's who his miracles were done. His parables were told to ignorant Galileans, what we'd say, the unlearned, the illiterate. His deepest truths were given to fishermen, 12 disciples that from all walks of life. His deepest truths that we still dig in and we still can't comprehend. He was so poor, he had to borrow a donkey to ride into Jerusalem on. He was so poor, he had to borrow a tomb to leave this world from. That's our Lord. He was so poor, he had to borrow a boat to get across the Galilee Sea. But he's the King. And this King was offering the same thing he offered to this leper. And that was forgiveness, peace with God, healing spiritually and physically. He offered that to the nation of Israel. 1 week later, less than a week later, some of this same group crucified the King. Crucified the King. But the King didn't stay dead. Hallelujah. Now here's a marvelous truth. Jesus, back in Mark chapter 1, Jesus tells this man, he gives him some specific instructions, and the man didn't obey. It's tragic that after his cleansing, after his healing, that he didn't obey, but he didn't. We would think, well, he did the right thing. Jesus said, don't tell anybody. I want you to go to the temple. I want you to tell them priests. They'll know. They know you. They've had you unclean and pronounced unclean. You go and show them. And then they will announce you're clean. What that would have done would have told the entire religious crowd there and religious rulers that this Jesus is God. This Jesus is the Messiah. But the fellow disobeyed, and he went and published it everywhere. He went and shouted out, look, look, you know what I was? And we'd all say, well, man, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. No, we're supposed to obey God first. Not use our human reasoning to outwit God, or use our human reasoning to overpower the Word of God. We'll always get in trouble when we do that. This fellow used his own human reasoning, his own thoughts that, you know what, I'll go out there and tell everybody because I got a lot of friends back at the leper colony, they need to come. I'm not going to the priest, for I believe if he went to the priest first, then he could have went to everybody, been no problem. But when he went to the priest and tell them, they had a ceremony they went through. And it is all a picture of the cross. They'd take two birds, they'd kill one of them and pour its blood in a basin. And then they'd take a cedar, a rod, really a little piece of cedar wood, or we might call it like a yardstick long. That cedar speaks of Christ, which is an evergreen, He's ever alive. They'd take that cedar and hyssop, which a little hyssop bush is a blue-flowered bush that they use to put blood on the doorpost, when Moses told the children of Israel that the death angel's coming through, take hyssop, dip it in that blood, and put it on the doorpost. So when the death angel passes through Egypt, he'll see the blood on the doorpost. So they'd have hyssop, a cedar rod, the two birds, and a band of scarlet. Of course, scarlet speaking of the sacrificial death of Christ, but also the glory of a king. They'd take that cedar rod, they'd take hyssop, take that band of scarlet and tie that hyssop on the end of that cedar rod. They'd kill this one of the two birds, put its blood in an earthen vase, basin or bowl. There's a lot more, there's so much to that. And then the cleansed leper would stand there in front of them. They'd take this rod that had the hyssop and the scarlet, and they'd dip it in that blood, and they'd sprinkle it on this leper who's now clean. Sprinkle it on him, signifying that he's been cleansed, and now he's clean to go out in society. Then they'd take that live bird. Now remember, one bird's dead. His blood's been caught in the basin. They take the live bird. They dip that bird in that blood of the other bird. And they'd set that bird free. So as the bird flew off, fluttering its wings, everybody that was around was sprinkled with that blood. And as that bird flew out, into the fields is a picture of the resurrection of Christ. So see what Jesus was doing to this leper? He said, listen, you go to the priest and you tell them that you've been cleansed and let them go through this ceremony. It'll point to my cross. It'll point to my resurrection. And they'll understand that the Messiah is here. That God is here. You go. He didn't obey. What'd the Lord do? Take the healing back? No. What does He do when you disobey? Does He take your salvation back? No. No. He just continues to love us. He's still approachable. He's still touchable. Which makes me think this fella was one of those that threw his cloak down in front of Jesus as He rode into Jerusalem. Now let me ask you this morning. Have you been to Jesus? Have you just thrown yourself at His feet? You're not bargaining with anything. What does a leper have to bargain with? What are you going to give him? What do we have to bargain with? What can we say? Lord, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. No, He just wants you at His feet, worshiping Him, coming to Him. Lord, if Thou wilt, You can make me clean. And He will. No one ever comes to Jesus wanting to be saved that He doesn't save you. And He will. He always will. There's no time. He says, He that comes to me, I will never turn away. And there's no time, Christian friend. We find ourselves, well, I blew it. I disobeyed God. And we have those daily struggles. We're guilty every day of not following His commands completely. Every one of us. What do we do? Does the Lord write us off? No. No. He says, I'm faithful and just. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. That old, remember, that live bird was set free. And so's our souls. Our eternity is in Christ. That bird flew into the heavens. And that's where my Lord Jesus is now representing you and I. What a beautiful picture this is. Let's bow our heads in prayer for a moment. I want to ask you, first of all, have you been to Calvary? Have you been to Jesus? Have you touched Him for your own sins where we've never trusted Him as our Savior? You say, I'm not a Christian, preacher. I've not given my life to Jesus. Why don't you do that today? And you may have even pretended to have. You may have had several years where you just played the best part ever was. You played a role of, I'm a Christian. I am. And you know there's never been a time when you totally surrendered to Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe You died for me. I believe You rose again. I ask You now to be my Savior. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. You don't remember a time ever doing that. Doesn't have to be a certain number of words or a certain wording when you've surrendered to Christ. Then could be here as believers and as this fellow who was cleansed and healed. We've used our own wisdom and reasoning to overrule what God has said in His Word. Let's don't do that. Don't do that. Never, ever, ever is it better the way you want to do it than the way God is doing it. Father, help us today. Thank You for the attention of these good folk. We pray Your blessings on them on this Palm Sunday as we see how the miracles of Christ and His entrance into Jerusalem all tie together. He was offering them everything that He was, the very God in the flesh. He was offering them their King. Lord, today I want You as my King. I say that personally. And I believe we have many folk right here in our auditorium and those that may be watching. They want You as their King. I pray right now, right at this moment, that's the prayer of every believer here in our church and those that's watching. I want You, Lord Jesus, as my King. You're my healer, my deliverer, my restorer, my peace. I want You as my King. I pray that prayer for myself, for others here today. In Jesus' name.